This summer's third Carte Blanche concert spotlights clarinetist David Schifrin in two late Brahms works, the clarinet sonata in F minor, opus 120, number 1, and the trio for clarinet, cello, and piano, opus 114, for which David will be joined by festival artistic directors David Finkel and Wuhan. Brahms composed his opus 120 clarinet sonatas and the opus 114 clarinet trio, as well as the opus 115 clarinet quintet, which appears on this summer's final concert program, for the clarinetist Richard Mühlfeld. Each of these works was composed between 1891 and 1894, in the final years of Brahms' career.
It's a famous story now that after his string quintet, opus 111, he retired. He wrote a letter to his publisher that he had said everything he had to say and was going to write no longer.
Clarinetist David Schifrin.
Then, on a trip to visit friends in Meiningen, he heard and met the clarinetist Richard Mühlfeld. And it changed his life and brought him out of retirement. He started writing works for the clarinet. The first one was the trio, the opus 114 that we're playing with cello and piano. And then the famous quintet, opus 115. And then a little bit later, two sonatas that Brahms himself performed with Richard Mühlfeld. It was a gift to all music lovers, not just clarinetists, that Brahms came out of retirement. The four works with the clarinet are each a masterpiece in their own right, but he also wrote quite a bit of beautiful piano music in this period after coming out of retirement. He wrote his four serious songs, and he wrote a whole set of organ preludes as his last work after the two clarinet sonatas. So the clarinetist Mühlfeld inspired a whole coda of genius from Brahms at the end of his career. You hear all of these adjectives. You hear autumnal, bittersweet, nostalgic, and reflective. But it goes way beyond that. There is a character. All of those characters can be found, and mature is another one. First of all, you hear music of great genius, of a real master. If you look at any of these works and see how they unfold and how the material is developed, how motivic and thematic material is interwoven, you can listen to these works and perform them for a lifetime and keep finding new elements of Brahms' genius, from the opening motif in the F minor sonata, just these four notes going up a fourth and then down in a scale pattern. You can find it in inner voices and in the bass line and in augmentation and diminution and in major and minor, probably hundreds and maybe thousands of instances just throughout the work, but not in a way that seems academic or as a game to see how many times I can put this motif in. It's absolutely organically woven into the music and used in the development and used in methods of changing key and making bridges between themes. It's just extraordinary. You could be a detective with this music and find the motif that Brahms begins the piece with and just octaves without harmonization in the piano, and then just see it come back and back so many times. These pieces, I would say, are real connoisseur's delights, because the more you hear them, the more you live with them, the more you appreciate them. There's so much to them. But at the same time, there's an accessibility right from the start. I think the trio is an extremely personal sounding piece. I believe that Brahms wrote it with the specific performers in mind, as he did most of his chamber music, but the cellist Hausmann, for whom Brahms had written his cello sonatas, and the clarinetist Milfeld and Brahms on the piano all played this together. And you know, the first movement, although there are elements of dialogue and great intimacy and true chamber music, it has this grand kind of a scale. You could say that about most of Brahms' chamber music, too, that even though it's an intimate kind of medium for just these three players, that there's an architecture that could almost be symphonic. Indeed, a lot of Brahms' chamber music has been orchestrated by some great composers, but Brahms chose to write most of his masterpieces for chamber music ensembles. In the case of the trio, you have this very unusual, really rich, mellow timbre with a clarinet and a piano trio as opposed to a violin. There's a really unique, mellow blend with the dialogue between the cello and the clarinet. You take a standard piano trio that has so much great repertory, including works of Brahms, of a piano, a violin, and a cello, and you substitute a clarinet for the violin, and you have many of the same characteristics, but you have a depth of sound and a dark autumnal quality that transforms the work. Slow movement is one of the most lush, gorgeous, suspended dialogues between two instruments that I've ever heard, with a cello and a clarinet answering one another, and the piano providing this incomparable lush texture. Andantino movement is one of the most delicious Wendler dance movements you'll ever hear. It's you know, on the surface, it's a very simple kind of a dance with a trio, with each instrument taking turns yodeling. But then you look a little deeper, and it's just got this haunting quality. And it finally ends with a little bit of the element of gypsy music in the finale that you hear in so much of Brahms' chamber music, but with some special tricks where Brahms, you know, this is already very late 19th century, and Brahms was, you know, so classically oriented, but was doing things in a very innovative way, and the things that he did with harmonies and rhythms, and in this case, alternating meters, taking out a beat and a phrase and doing odd-shaped phrases with alternating different meters, going in and out of triple and duple, which he did throughout his career. But in this breathless finale to this movement, he really creates something that you can hear on so many levels. And as I said earlier, it's the kind of piece that no matter how many times you hear it and how many times you play it, you can always see new things in it and think of different ways that it could be performed. It just keeps it fresh always.
In between the two Brahms works, the program features the German composer Max Bruch's Opus 83 pieces for clarinet, cello, and piano, composed in 1910, more than a decade after Brahms' death.
Of course, Bruch and Brahms' lives overlapped, but in this case, these were very, very late works of Bruch. I believe they were performed during Bruch's lifetime by Mofeld, who survived Brahms by some years. And I believe they were written around 1909, 1910, and they're very much in the language of 19th century Romanticism. But it's fascinating to hear these works that were written right around the same time as Stravinsky was writing the Sacra and Bartok was after Bartok's first string quartet and around the time that Schoenberg was writing Pierrot Lunaire. Here's this unabashed, just incredible heart on your sleeve romantic set of trios by Max Bruch.
The second of the Opus 83 pieces, marked Allegro con moto, resembles Brahms in its pathos and deeply felt lyricism. It moreover shares the key of B minor with Brahms's clarinet quintet of 1891, a work with which Bruch was surely familiar. The piano's restless triplet accompaniment provides a backdrop of romantic anxiety to sweeping expressive lines in the clarinet and cello. The effervescent Allegro Vivace is the brightest of the Opus 83 pieces. Its gleeful air harkens back to the scherzos of Weber and the early Romantics. Bruch completed his Opus 83 more than a decade after Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun, and less than 3 years before Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring and Schoenberg's Pierrot Lunaire. At the dawn of a musical era marked by the defiance of classical precedents, even this most buoyant of the eight pieces suggests Bruch's nostalgic longing for a bygone time.
Look at the chronology, too, and there are so many analogies to what's happening in music now, that there are so many schools of thought and so many different worlds within a world of music. At the time that Brahms wrote all of these clarinet pieces, certainly the sonatas were written after Debussy's string quartet. You know, you just think about the collision of worlds, and Brahms and Schoenberg had a bit of an overlap. His famous Verklärte Nacht was written only a year or two after Brahms' death. Just the chronology and the realization of how many different currents there were and are to this day in the musical world is really quite fascinating. So many different languages within a language.
Audio notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following performers and organizations. Johannes Brahms' Variations on a Theme by Paganini and Bella Bartok's Dance Suite are performed by Alessio Bax and appear courtesy of the artist. George Enescu's Violin Sonata No. 3 is performed by Adelina Oprian and Justin Oprian and appears courtesy of Helios Records. Brahms' Opus 39 Waltzes, performed by Alphonse and Alois Kontarski, Brahms' Opus 76 Piano Pieces, performed by Tomas Vasari, Clara Schumann's Romance Opus 22 No. 1, Felix Mendelssohn's Auf den Flügeln des Gesanges, and Josef Joachim's Romance Opus 2 No. 1, performed by Daniel Hope and Sebastian Nauer, appear with kind permission of Deutsche Grammophon GmbH Hamburg, www.deutschegrammophon.com. Brahms' Opus 10 Ballades, performed by Stephen Huff, appear courtesy of Hyperion Records. Brahms' Violin Sonata No. 1 in G Major, Opus 78, is performed by Joseph Swenson and Jeffrey Kahane, and appears courtesy of Music at Menlo. Brahms' Piano Quartet in G Minor, Opus 25, performed by Gilbert Kalish, Ian Swenson, Paul Neubauer, and Colin Carr, and Antonin Dvorak's Piano Quartet in E-flat Major, Opus 87, performed by Gilbert Kalish, Georgia Flizanis, Geraldine Walter, and Colin Carr, appear courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Brahms' Opus 114 Clarinet Trio and Max Bruch's Opus 83 pieces are performed by David Schifrin, David Finkel, and Wu Han. Brahms' Clarinet Sonata in F Minor, Opus 120 No. 1 is performed by David Schifrin and Carol Rosenberger and appears courtesy of Delos Music. For more information, please visit www.delosmusic.com. Gabriel Fauré's Dolly Suite is performed by Duo Mento and appears courtesy of Eroica Records. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.